Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
A Reaction Monday, presented by First Bank. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis, Nick Ferguson, and D-Mac.
There's a piece of video and audio going around, and it's just a little bit too dicey for us to play because you can see it, and there's captions which enable you to understand what's happening, but just to play it on the radio would be, it just wouldn't translate, unfortunately. But to describe it, it's Lamar Jackson sitting on the sideline, and John Harbaugh goes over to him. And more or less, they just tell each other how much they love each other.
Yeah.
And how supportive they were and what a day it was for Lamar Jackson.
It's a second down and three. Jackson takes it himself. Look at him turn back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. Now he's got an entourage. And he's got a touchdown. He is Houdini. What a play. 47-yard touchdown run by the magical quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Wow!
In a season that he is a contender for MVP, he broke off a highlight that will be shown literally forever when you're talking about the NFL, no doubt about it. And then you see the bond he has with his coach. And it just, it felt to me like the scene in Jerry Maguire when Jerry's hugging Cuba Gooding Jr. and Bert Sugar is next to his athlete, and the athlete's like, why don't we have that relationship?
Yeah.
And Bert goes to try to hug him, and he just pushes him away. It's kind of like, why don't we have that here in Denver? Why don't we have a relationship like that?
Well, it actually felt like, it almost felt like the Ravens should have been getting their butts whipped for like the last two games. The conversation was like so lovey-dovey. It was like, man, I love you, man, because you don't care about the stats and you put the team first. And, you know, way to go, man. I love you. Sorry it didn't work out. That's what it felt like it should have been. Not in the middle of like some tremendous performance like this, you know. Nick, I don't know what you thought, but I just felt like it was, I've had experiences with coaches in which, I hate to say it, in which I've played so bad that the only way to coach you is to be like, man, I've been there. That sucks. You know, that's a painful situation. It almost felt like he was trying to encourage him, you know?
Well, see, I love the interaction between, you know, Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, because Harbaugh said to him in the audio, hey, listen, there's so many quarterbacks that are obsessed and concerned with stats. And Lamar said, look, I'm concerned and I'm worried about my team. That's the only thing that I'm worrying about. And I like that from a young guy going in his second year, especially knowing how many people have told him what he wasn't going to be able to do, and the fact that the Baltimore Ravens should not have drafted him in the first place. To know that your coach has your back at one of the most important positions in football, and he doesn't really care about the stat, and the only thing that he cares about, and you care the same thing, it's about winning. Because once again, statistically, I think Lamar Jackson was 15 of 17, 223. He threw for three touchdowns. He rushed for another. And that the audio that we had of that highlight was sensational. It was kind of one of those Michael Vick type of moments when Michael Vick ran through the Minnesota Vikings secondary. This guy is so dynamic, and I can see why Ozzie Newsome decided to make him their first draft choice.
What does that relationship mean with head coach and quarterback when it's like that? How important is it?
I can't speak specifically to head coach, because I've never had a relationship like that with the head coach where they're talking to me, like embracing me, loving me up on the sideline. Mike Shanahan and I have an incredible relationship. There's nobody I respect more, but he wasn't talking to me like that on the sideline, you know? Now, after the season, he would.
That's a pretty unique moment.
During the middle of a game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a unicorn moment. Mm. That doesn't happen.
But that's a special moment. But once again, that's a testament of the Ravens organization. And as a young player in the league playing an important position, that conversation meant a lot for Lamar Jackson. He's going to go out because his head coach, not his position coach, his head coach had those things to say to him and a lopsided victory, not a loss. That's huge. He's going to go out every single day and really, just figuratively, try to kill himself to make sure that this team has an opportunity to be there at the end in the 2019 season.
You know, Lamar Jackson's faced some really weird criticism. For me, you have those moments when you just sort of believe in a guy. And mine was when I saw Lamar Jackson at Louisville just, I mean, destroy my Syracuse Orange almost single-handedly. And it was, I mean, throwing, running. I mean, it was just everything you can imagine. And a lot of throws, not just runs. But it was impossible for me to look at what I was looking at and not think that this is going to work on the next level. I remember watching Christian McCaffrey in high school, and I'm like, yeah, I can't even imagine that he won't be successful in the NFL watching what he's doing in high school. Like, how good do you have to be? You know, isn't this it?
You know what's funny about that, though? I actually think Lamar Jackson is going to get a lot of future GMs fired. He's going to get a lot of people chasing that unicorn of the special rare guy that can run it, that can throw it, that can play within the pocket, that can play outside the pocket. And it's kind of like what happened this year in the head coaching search. You know, the new trend was to go to the young guy who really doesn't have any credentials because you're chasing the next Sean McVay, right? Everybody wanted the next young guru. Now everybody's going to want the next guy that can run it, that can throw it. And in reality, Lamar Jackson so far, he is a unicorn. There's Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson can do it. But the NFL, you still win within the pocket. And so I think future GMs are going to get fired trying to chase the guy that nobody thought could do it, just like nobody thought Lamar Jackson could do it.
I don't think that is 100% correct, because if you look at the blueprint that the Baltimore Ravens have in place, okay, so they've always had a core group of guys. Even when Flacco was there, they have a core group of defensive guys. So you don't have Ray Lewis, no more Ed Reed, no Terrell Suggs, but you have Earl Thomas, who's now there. You have Marcus Peters, who's there. You have Jimmy Smith. So you have core guys who can be leaders to take the pressure off of them. And then also, it's about the offensive coordinator and how you build your offense. Greg Roman, like I mentioned earlier, is he's had experience with quarterbacks like this. He's been around Colin Kaepernick, so he knows how to, and he's willing, and that's the biggest part. He's willing to change his system to fit that of his quarterback opposed to the other way around.
Well, I love it because I was banging the table for Lamar Jackson in the draft. I said I would take all five quarterbacks before I would have taken another player in that particular draft. I sat there on draft night. I said, don't go anywhere, anybody. The Broncos could still move back into the 30s and get Lamar Jackson. And everybody else was like, they'd been at the draft coverage for like 7 hours. So everybody else was sort of falling off the stage. And I was like, hang on. And when the Ravens did exactly what I wanted the Broncos to do, it was a tough moment, man. And but he would have been a waste because the Broncos wouldn't have known how to use him. You know what? You'd figure it out.
I don't know about that, D-Mac.
You would have figured it out.
I don't know.
You would have figured it out.
There's wasted talent all over the place that coaches never wanted to buy in because it didn't fit their mold of what is traditionally
successful. Dude, it had been training camp, and you would not have been able to ignore it. You wouldn't. It would be overwhelming how good he would have been. It would have been overwhelming. Day after day, you would have had to figure it out. You would have been a complete moron to not see the potential of it.
Dude.
It would have worked out.
Would Lamar Jackson look like Lamar Jackson if somebody was trying to force him to turn him into a West Coast drop back, turn around, and play with your back
to
line scrimmage?
No, you would have
so
had.
Could he have looked bad in our system?
No, but I really do think, yes, he would have looked terrible in this system.
So then,
but they would have changed. They would have changed the system.
You're not going to change your system for a guy that's looking bad.
Well.
But that's the problem.
I see what you're saying, and I just think his talent, and he'd be improvising, and it would have been overwhelming to ignore.
It would have driven certain offensive coordinators crazy because they wanted him to do certain things that he felt naturally inclined to do. But this is why, once again, I go back to Greg Norman, and I look at Andy Reid, what he's doing. change your system to fit that of your quarterback instead of trying to force a square peg into a round hole? Why do that?
Whatever. The question, I suppose, is Jalen Hurts in this draft, because the other quarterbacks everybody is already convinced about. But to your point, will Jalen Hurts get somebody fired? Will somebody think Jalen Hurts can do the same thing that we're seeing out of Lamar Jackson? Unless there may be other guys too. Right now, all I can think of is Jalen Hurts, but maybe there are other guys out there too.
Those are two different players because, like Tyler said before.
Well, then who's like Lamar Jackson who's out there?
Right now?
Yeah.
There isn't.
All right, then fine. He's not going to get anybody fired.
No, he's not. Because
he's going to get people fired.
There's a difference between...
chasing unicorns, man.
No, you have to understand. You first have to have a plan. If your plan is try to duplicate what Baltimore is doing, thinking that you're going to find the next Lamar Jackson, you're out of your mind. Now, Joe Burrow is very mobile. We saw against this Saturday against Alabama, he was able to extend plays, but he's no Lamar Jackson.
We got to take a break. When we come back, a first... Andy Locke has told us what the fish was. We will have Terry Wickstrom to tell us, is a hybrid striped bass the same as a wiper? Whew. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And you can ski for free at Loveland right now. Fourth caller at 303-713-1043. Don't forget, you can purchase your own Loveland 4-pack at SkiLoveland.com. I love you, Parker the Snow Dog. Loveland 4-packs have no restrictions, no blackout dates, and are completely transferable. I'm going to be making turns at Loveland this week. Hope to see you there. You can go there for free right now, 303-713-1043. You're winning a Loveland 4-pack.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's a Reaction Monday, presented by First Bank. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis, Nick Ferguson, and D-Mac.
All right, we had on, well, we didn't have anybody on, but we were talking about Drew Locke, and he caught a fish. It was his 23rd birthday, and I reached out because we weren't sure what kind of fish it was. Tyler said it was a trout. But it was definitely not a trout, and I retweeted.
Don't put my name on that.
He said it was a wiper or something.
Well,
I'll show you.
Tyler didn't say that. Not initially. He said trout.
No, I definitely said wiper.
And then I reached out on the tweet that Andy Locke put up there, and I said, "What kind of fish?" And Andy Locke, Drew Locke's dad, responded, "Hybrid striped bass, Truman Lake, Missouri." But a bunch of people are saying that's a wiper. So the question is a wiper a hybrid striped bass? I've known Terry Wickstrom for a long time, and I have nothing but respect for him. And I just, there was never really necessarily a significant reason to have him specifically on the show, although talking to Terry is always a good thing until now. Terry Wickstrom joins us. Maybe a first, Terry, and we're thrilled to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, D-Mac, I remember those Saturday mornings when you were coming in when I was ending my show. It's been a long time, pal.
Yeah, I'm glad you're on with us. I don't trust anybody with outdoors things more than you. So, have you seen the picture, by the way?
I have.
Okay. Is a hybrid striped bass the same as a wiper?
Okay, well, let me tell you. Truman Lake in Missouri has stripers and it has white bass. A hybrid striped bass is a cross between a wiper and a striped bass, which a lot of departments of outdoors, DNRs and things, and parks and wildlife breed because they're easy to control. And they're sometimes they occur naturally, and sometimes they're put in there. But that was definitely a hybrid striped bass, which in Colorado everybody calls a wiper.
Oh,
there
right.
It is.
Okay.
There it is.
And I I have to say something to Tyler, though, or whoever. Tyler, you used to come in on Saturdays. We got to know each other.
You're darn right.
Whoever said that was a trout deserves a whipping.
That was Nick.
Tyler.
Nick definitely said that.
No. I said, upon seeing the photo, the first thing I said, I didn't call it a wiper. I just said, that's a bass.
Nick did say that.
That's a bass.
I got to give you credit, Nick. Because the fish we call bass, largemouth, smallmouth, that type of thing, are actually sunfish. The only true bass in the United States are white bass, striped bass, wipers. So I agree, but we don't call them that.
What makes a wiper a wiper? What separates it from the other type of bass?
Well, it's a different species altogether. White bass and striped bass are two distinct species, and a lot of parks and wildlife breed those because they're easy to control because they don't self-reproduce after, and they're ferocious predators. And I'll tell you what, one the size of that on the end of your line, it looked like maybe it was, what, maybe 5-6 pounds, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
But when you catch one like that, you'll think you got a 20-pound fish on. They fight like crazy.
Did Drew Lock just become your favorite quarterback of all time?
He's got to throw a pass in an NFL game first.
Tough standards.
Wait. Just not
good luck on that one.
Wait, catching the fish? That's not good enough for you?
No, I mean, I love quarterbacks. I mean, I love people that catch fish. We've had lots of guys on my TV and radio shows, but if you're going to be catching fish doesn't make you a quarterback, or I'd be in the Hall of Fame of the NFL.
Best outdoorsman, best professional athlete outdoorsman you know?
Well, Todd Helton's a good friend.
Todd Helton, right. Todd, boy, he loves.
And you know who's a really good friend, too, is Carl Mecklenburg.
Okay. What's his specialty?
Well, he loves to fly fish, and he loves to duck hunt.
How are his wipers? Just kidding.
It's Tyler's joke.
I'll tell you a secret. Carl was supposed to film a TV show with me.
Okay.
And we were going to do trout fishing up north of Loveland. And I got out there with the TV crew to film the show, and Carl had been out there for an hour already hunting ducks.
Nice. Remember that picture with Manning and Helton with, like, 30 dead mallards all over them? They could duck hunt, those two. They could take care of business. Maybe they weren't mallards. Yeah. Were they mallards? Do you duck hunt mallards? They probably aren't. They're probably another one.
I didn't see the picture, but they could have been.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Terry. Thank you so much.
Terry.
And
hey,
we'll listen to you this weekend.
Hey, great show. Tyler, welcome back to the fan. It's great to hear you guys. I listen as often as I can. Great show.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Terry. Terry Wickstrom. Oh, I'm sorry.
You hung up on
Terry. Mornings from 9 to 11.
Oh, so say it again, Terry. Say it again.
Don't forget to tune in Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, and listen to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, and you wouldn't have to worry about what kind of fish that was.
Hey, it's November. What hunting season are we in?
We're in deer and big game. We're in waterfowl, and we're in upland game like pheasants.
Nice. Love it. Pheasants are stupid. All right. Appreciate it, Terry. Talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for thinking of me. Bye.
You got it. Yeah, they're dumb. They just hang out and they just do nothing. And then you go, hey, boo, and they jump up.
You know what I'm wondering? Is there a difference in taste, Tyler, in the two different type of fish?
So, yes, for sure. I am a hunter. I am not a fisherman. Never have been.
Obviously.
I lose way more lures than I catch fish. Matter of fact, I would love to learn how to fly fish. Anybody out there wants to take me? But yes, you can definitely taste the difference. I know the difference.
What was the last thing you hunted?
I go bird hunting every single year. I go pheasant, geese, way separate. Those are way different.
Geese, we got the geese in the parking lot. I almost ran one over.
So historically, I've always, so duck season, I've always caught like the last weekend of it because it's always right at the very end of football season. So I'll go out once or twice for ducks. But I went on a quail hunt to Texas. Birds.
Okay. What would it be?
I got a great hunting story with Colt McCoy one time. It's worth the story.
Well, here's the question, D-Mac. You almost ran over a geese in the parking lot.
Well, we all did. They just stand there like morons, like in the parking lot.
If I bag one, would your car? Would I be still considered to be a hunter?
No, you'd be a jerk. You don't run over geese in the parking lot.
I'm not saying I would intentionally do that.
You're going to unintentionally run over a... What would you do with it?
What if I'm backing up at night and, I mean...
Be more careful! Don't. What, have you run over a geese in our a goose in our parking lot?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
Have you?
No. No.
Oh, boy,
no.
That's a no. That means yes.
Boy, was it ever.
All right. Well,
look at the eyes tell the story.
I'll come back with the top six. Colt McCoy's story around 6:15.
Sure.
We'll do that. Top six coming up next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.